Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's time! You asked for it and you got it at BruceBuffer.com. Championship introductions at a special rate are now provided for all of you as a keepsake for life, like you are being introduced like a champion in the cage. Just go to BruceBuffer.com. Specials for championship introductions, weddings, birthdays, voicemail, and business recordings. I'm here for you if you need me. Check me out at BruceBuffer.com. From the shores of Malibu where the waves are pumping, to the Great Wall of China and back to the streets of Las Vegas where the UFC is happening, we are live. This is It's Time Radio, the show where we talk about what you think about but may be afraid to voice. Do not worry. As usual, we will voice it for you. We talk about everything on its time. COVID-19, President Trump, politics, film, sex, drugs, rock and roll, and UFC, and so much more. Lots to talk about today coming off the big show, UFC 255 last weekend. I'm here with my co-host and producer, TJ DeSantis. TJ, how are you?
I'm good, Buff. How are you?
Really good. Really good. I'm feeling incredible, actually. I'm looking forward to a wonderful Thanksgiving. Of course, COVID safe. Small gatherings. We'll talk about all that on the show, get that down right. But I'm very thankful for a lot of things, and I'm looking forward to saying thank you, thank you, thank you to everybody I'm thankful to this week. With that being said, I'm thankful to have one of my best friends in life and business associates, a man who's an aficionado of boxing, used to be the owner of maxboxing.com, one of the original boxing sites that told it all when it came to the great sport of boxing. Also the owner and runner of socialunderground.com. And that is a fantastic news site we all enjoy here at It's Time Radio. None other than Gary Randall. We're bringing Gary on to talk about the Mike Tyson-Roy Jones fight happening this weekend. Talk some USC, talk some life, talk some COVID, talk some holiday season upcoming. Gary, how are you?
I'm good, Bruce and TJ. Bruce, thanks for the intro, man. I appreciate it.
Oh, you got it. You got it, bro. That's why they pay me the big bucks, at least sometimes. Okay, it's all good. Hey, Gary, what are you driving in the Maybach, huh? You got my car over there. What's up?
This is my new quarantine mobile office.
Love it. Great office.
Are you really in a car right now, or is that just the background?
No, dude, this is my Zoom background.
Okay. I mean, I didn't know.
The man's a man of many
it's
Zoom
a good one, though,
faces.
Right?
Yeah, it's a real good one.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it looks pretty spot on. Like, if you would have told me you're actually in that car, I would have believed you.
I like it. All right, guys, we came off. Let's go right into the UFC. I love the show this weekend. The fact of two flyweight championships, Cody Garbrandt, of course, backing out. But no, excuse me, Alex Perez came in taking over for – who was he? Who was the one that he took over for, please, TJ? Am I correct in this?
Cody Garbrandt. Yeah, you had it right the first time.
Yeah, Cody Garbrandt, who I just read this morning, aside from the torn bicep, had COVID-19.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it was on – I was reading – I think it was on mixedmartialarts.com. He was bringing out about the fact that he had it, still suffering, if I read correctly, issues beyond getting over it.
Yeah,
that are preventing him from training. So it wasn't just the torn bicep. There was more involved here.
I mean, we talked to Dr. Davidson about that 2 weeks ago at this point now, where, man, it affects so many people just different ways. Like,
yeah, totally different
stuff. I mean, even, you know, world-class athletes are susceptible to getting sidelined for much longer than significantly, I mean, unhealthier people. You know what I mean? You expect these athletes that are in top physical condition to be able to get past this quickly. And it's really a crapshoot for everybody, guys.
It's different for everybody. And, you know, we talked about passing the show that there were some college basketball athletes suffering from enlarged hearts as a result of this.
Terrifying. Terrifying.
Actually end their career.
I was talking to a doctor recently who was an infectious disease specialist. I don't know if you guys have heard this, but the receptors in our body that, you know, actually take the molecule of COVID-19 and unfortunately process it through the body, there are certain parts of your brain that will take that. And they've actually seen some signs of dementia in people that have gotten COVID-19. And we're not talking about just older people. We're talking about significantly younger people. And I actually was talking to this gentleman about how some people that have been affected with COVID, they have some memory problems, but they're also cannabis users, and they blame their short-term memory issues based on their usage of cannabis. And it's like, well, you know, funny short-term memory problems because you like weed a little too much, but it might be more than that. And I think that's something that people really need to be aware of if they are afflicted with COVID-19.
Well, the jury's out, you know, and while we're on the subject of COVID-19, we'll go back to the UFC in a second. Let's go into some COVID-19 talk, because right now what's happening here in Los Angeles and California, as we know, is that the state is now on a curfew.
What does that mean, though?
You know, this is what I wanted to ask you guys about, because we're still in stage one, although we're told that on Wednesday, what I'm hearing is that we could be in total lockdown again.
Again, what does that mean?
What that means is stay-at-home order. That means
restaurants
are closed.
Okay, but what does that mean? Because here's my issue. The Fresno County Sheriff's Department were like, yeah, we're not going to enforce this. There were 400 people at the pier of Huntington Beach the other night in protest of the 10 p.m. curfew. They didn't do anything. The stay-at-home order just said, stay at home unless you're, you know, necessary workers and whatnot. Well, there was no real penalty or fine for disobeying it. I understand. We all need to acknowledge the order and do right by it. Otherwise, we're never going to get over things. But at the same time, unless there's a strict punishment, Bruce, you can say we're on total lockdown. If there's no penalty, we're not on total lockdown.
Well, I remember penalties were being handled out before, you know, here in my area, in Manhattan Beach area, pretty stiff penalties for doing whatever. So, local
but it's
county,
not a law, Bruce.
I understand.
It's like a ticket.
I understand what you're saying, but you know what?
I don't even think it's that.
I don't think it is either. I think it's beyond toothless.
I wouldn't say toothless, TJ, because I do think that if the order comes out and it's supposed to mimic, let's say, where we were in March,
right,
then you're going to end up with another situation where all the small mom and pop businesses that's where there's going to be an order. That's where something will, there'll be a consequence if they stay open. And unfortunately, that's what's putting all of those small businesses out of business. They're not going to be able to last through another lockdown or another version of what March looked like. So I don't think it's going to be exactly the same. I do think they're going to be a lot more. They're going to let a lot more of those small businesses try and stay open. And I think it just depends on how the numbers end up looking up. But as far as enforcing it goes, I don't see them getting away with too much.
And that's my problem. If you're not going to enforce it, I just don't know how real it is. And I mean,
it's real to the point that it's real and it's declared. It's not enforceable unless it's enforced. I read us one statement that said out of the 50 some counties in California or whatever, it was said that only 41 are going to follow it. So obviously you're going to have individuals that are going to not follow it. Okay.
But again, what is the penalty for not following it? Because to really implement a curfew like that, guys, where you are held to task for violating it, it needs to be a law, and a law needs to be passed. And I don't know if you noticed this, but our politicians, they don't agree and get along with anything.
Oh, gee, really? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I'm saying is, like, even if something needed to be done, like short of martial law, guys, which is not going to happen, I don't think that there's ever going to be a real lockdown.
Well, I think the consequence of not following this, if you really want to get down to the brass tacks, is getting COVID.
That's the thing. I agree with you. But the problem with all of that being said is what is the point of even issuing these mandates if there's no real repercussions for violating them?
Public perception scare. I don't know.
But it doesn't work.
It doesn't work. Well, it'll work. It'll work to a point.
It works with a certain percentage.
It will work.
Yeah.
It will work.
But this is something that we're not going to get over if only a certain percentage follow it. And that's why we're still here.
Well, granted.
We're going to last until the vaccine.
The vaccine is going
to you're lucky. If you get it, you get it, and you have to deal with it. But I think it ultimately comes down to your personal either inner circle or view of the entire cause and effect of the pandemic. You know what I mean?
I agree.
I stay within my bubble, but anything I try and go out and buy or do, I'm trying to do it with small businesses because right. they're the ones that are going to be affected. The big banks, the big, everyone that can work remote and have right. their companies just run. Hey, you know, that's their thing. But mom and pop shops that are, that yep. feeding people. And I'm going there and I'm picking it up, man. I'm uh-huh. not ordering through DoorDash. I'm not doing Grubhub. I'm trying to give them like my full business
yeah.
so they can, you know, and try and hit their profit margin.
Well, that's a problem. I noticed there are some class action lawsuits with the third party food services like Grubhub and DoorDash because of their gouging. And that's really like, I like what you're saying, Gary, because, you know, the companies that don't really need our service and help, they're profiting like crazy. Like, look at Amazon's evaluation. It's gone through the friggin' roof. But, you know, your local pizzeria down the street, sure, maybe they offer a delivery service through DoorDash, but they're getting a fraction of what they could be getting if you're willing to walk in there. And you know, talking about the mandates and whatnot, you're absolutely right. The real penalties for all of this, for people not following it, are that these independent companies, they're just simply going to go out of business.
Well,
it's
happening.
Destroyed.
They're going to be destroyed. It's happening in my area too. Is with the lockdown potential here set for Wednesday potentially. Like tonight, you know, Chris and the kids and I are going to go out and support a local restaurant. Maybe even do it tomorrow. Just give like two more places our business, because even before the lockdowns happen, I'm seeing places just closing around me. They just can't keep open.
Right.
And then when the bad weather and the rain starts and the cold, the outside dining is not going to be the most comfortable to dine in.
It's already not comfortable once the sun goes down, guys.
Yeah.
Like I'm from the Midwest. I know what cold is and I know what cold isn't. And here isn't really cold, but it's not comfortable enough to try to go eat a steak outside on a patio. You know, when it's 55 degrees and you're sitting next to the damn heat lamp, that's the last place you want to be to try to enjoy a meal. And, you know, that's one thing too, Bruce, that I think a lot of people don't really realize is, you know, I have a 9-year-old son who hasn't really been social with anybody in 9 months. And right. guys, I'm telling you, that has an effect on his psyche as a human being.
Of course,
like, I understand he needs to be inside and be healthy, but it's not good for him to be isolated.
They need it for development.
Yeah.
He's stuck at home with his mom and dad. I mean, no offense, TJ, but he's with old people.
We're not that cool.
He's with old people all the time.
Hey, send him over to my house. I'll give the kid an education over 2 days.
Hey, Buff, you're pretty damn cool. So, you know, I'd make that happen. But that's the same thing, too, is like, I can't let him do that because that's part of the problem. And I don't know. I just wish we were able to work towards a common goal as a group so we could get over this. Like, my son's school basically told him, look, we're not going to have in-person education for the entire year, for the rest, like not the calendar year, like for this school year. And they made that decision last week. And I'm thinking about it. Hopefully things are resolved by next fall, because we're looking at it as the last time my son stepped in a classroom, he was in the third quarter of second grade. The next time he's in a school, he will be in fourth grade. When I think about who I was in second grade compared to who I was in fourth grade, that is a long time to not develop alongside your peers.
Well, here's a couple points to consider. We had 1,707 coronavirus deaths reported in one day in California, which was the highest daily death rate toll in 6 months. They're looking at us, and if the infection rate goes over 4,500 people a day, the closure is going to happen. Well, how it's enforced and all, we already talked about that. We'll see what happens. Then I talked to like Joe Rogan this weekend at the show, and he's telling me that in Texas, where he lives now, every place is jammed, crowded, crowds, side by side, no mask, no this, no nothing. I don't have a report on when the numbers are in Texas, but we know they're not good. So look, you either do it or you don't. If part of the population doesn't do it, it slows down the process. If a major part of the population follows the safety and protocol, we can lessen this thing. But the bottom line is right now, the biggest worry of everybody is the Thanksgiving holidays. People are traveling like crazy. Travel rates were up over the weekend like crazy. States are putting out warnings, no more gatherings of more than 3 or 4 people at home or this and the other, but it's not going to happen. Many people are going to have their Thanksgiving get-togethers. Me, it's going to be Mom, Brian, I, and maybe 2 other people.
On November 19th, the state of Texas reported 13,182 new COVID cases.
In one day?
In one day. Their spike.
That's fucked up. That's fucked up. Fucked up.
Their spike was on September 21st. They reported 22,276 new COVID cases in one day.
Cool. Enjoy. Go out and have fun in that restaurant. you know, you're not getting me out there.
Let's see where they are on deaths right now. They're significantly lower on deaths. On the 18th of November, they had 193 COVID-related deaths.
Okay. Again, go ahead.
No, but going back to July 27th, they had 1,202 deaths in one day.
All right. So then a lot of people, it's always, well, the elderly, well, the uncompromised or the compromised, they're the ones that are going to say, listen, we just talked about a young fighter on the show. We just talked about Cody Garbrandt. We're seeing children get this and dying and whatever. It's not about dying, okay? It's about just getting it and the after effects and how it can affect you any way up and down. Bottom line, I don't want to get it. Okay?
Right.
I just don't want to get it. And if I get it, I'll deal with it as best I can.
On November 20th, so last Friday, the state of California reported 13,727 new cases.
Wow.
And then the next day was 8,808. That's the thing about it. It seems to like spike every other day. Like one day it'll be high and then there's a little bit of a dip and then the next day it's higher. And I don't know why it is that way. Maybe it's just reporting times, but it's weird.
Well, I think we have screwed up reporting, but one recommendation to anyone, if you do use the Citizen app, they're now doing tracing on Citizen. Mm. So, it's basically like, I mean, I don't know how they're actually targeting or zeroing in on people that are infected, but it will now show you if there is someone who is infected anywhere in like within a 1.4 mile radius of you.
What? How does?
Yes.
That's, I mean, I
so
think
they're doing contact tracing on Citizen. You got to check it out.
That's crazy because that technology I think is good, guys, but also too, it's like, how are you zoning in on that? Like, that's great.
Gary, is that on the internet?
It's an app, he said.
Yeah, it's an app. So it's called Citizen. And
I'm downloading
it
right now.
You can't get it through the App Store. You have to go through their website, I believe. Well, maybe you can get it through the App Store now.
I'll have to
go through their website to get it.
Is this something that existed before the coronavirus, Gary? Do you know?
Oh, yeah. So we use Citizen to, you know, I live in a fire-heavy area. So we use Citizen to make sure that we know of any reported activities happening around us. But Citizen
just go to the internet and go to citizen.com. It's right.
Citizen Connect and Stay? Is that what it is? Connect and Stay, something or other?
I don't know what that is.
Just go to citizen.com. It has the app right there.
Yeah, but that doesn't work on my iPhone, Bruce. You have to be able to download things from the app. Yeah, okay, there you go. That's it then. Yep. So I'm downloading it right now.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, while you're down on the
app. Really good app.
Another couple of things that have occurred, you know, with President Trump getting coronavirus and going around during his, pre-election day and post-election day activities. You know, there's been 130 Secret Service officers that are said to be infected with coronavirus and being quarantined in the wake of the travel campaign that he did. You know, so that went through that like crazy.
It doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
I mean,
ridiculous.
That's the thing that's sort of crazy about it. So I did an Invicta event last week, guys, and the show was on Friday. We were originally scheduled for a championship doubleheader, so championship fights in our main and co-main events. We lost both of them.
COVID?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah, well, you know, we go through that in UFC from time to time. Yep.
But, I mean, like, the point is normally, like, during this time, you book a main event and a pretty strong co-main event because if your main event falls through, at least you'll have that co-main to back up on. Yeah. We lost both of them.
Sucks. Did you have a good show?
Great show. Yeah, it was awesome.
That's fine. There you go. Alicia,
have there been any like UFC fighters or anyone in the UFC that got COVID and they have not been able to come back or it's like somehow affected their career as a result?
On the record, no. Off the record, I don't. I mean, I've talked to some people that are not currently with the UFC that have had some issues where they don't think they'll fight again, but those names wouldn't jump off the page. But
that's still an example of fighters, though.
Right? And that's the thing, guys. I think that we're still. Like Dr. Davidson talked about it with us, Bruce, we still don't know everything. So someone that's been affected and maybe they haven't been able to return yet, it doesn't mean that they won't be able to. Like he said, hopefully you'll just get better. But beyond that stuff, it's a waiting game. It's still like this has been a thing for 9 months. It feels like it's been 9 years.
I know.
But there's still a lot to be heard, you know, and learn.
There's a lot to be heard, a lot to absorb. But, you know, the big thing is with the three companies coming out with the vaccines, such as Pfizer, you know, there people are talking about having vaccines before the end of the year. That's great. But, I mean, the most vaccines I've heard quoted that could be available are 20 million. We need many, many tens of millions more than that. Then you have the amount of people that don't even vaccine their children to begin with, don't believe in vaccines, that probably won't get the vaccine, however, who will get the vaccine. But the positive side is we're talking about the dark side. Let's talk about the light at the end of the tunnel. What I'm hearing now from the Faucis of this world and everything else is that if everything goes according to safety and protocol and these vaccines work, as hopefully they do and hopefully will, to the level that they do, is we could be back to a form of normalcy come May of next year. That's promising. And that's what I hope happens.
I mean, I think that's really optimistic. I'm sorry if people were watching the feed and saw my face a moment ago. I had a weird reaction. This Citizen app is crazy.
Buddy.
I just got a notification that 400 feet away from me right now, there's a child locked in a car.
Once you were blind, now you can see.
TJ, just leave the studio and go let that kid out. Smash that window.
400 feet away is like a home run. You know what I mean? That's not very far.
That is what it is. Well, anyway, while you're doing that, do me a favor. Check Playa del Rey and tell me that where my friends live. Tell me the level of cases there. Let's go on to some other stuff here.
Gary, you've ruined my life. This is terrifying.
All right. Who do you know? Let me put it this way. Would you want to fly during the holidays right now with the massive amounts of people going in the airports?
I flew last Friday. I'm flying to Mexico this week.
Didn't my question. That's work. Do you want to?
I flew last Friday. I'm flying this week.
But do you look forward to it? Does it bother you that you're flying during the holiday traffic?
Bruce, I flew last Friday and I'm flying.
Answer the question. I know you're flying, but does it bother
you? Bruce, you're never going to hear him say he doesn't want to do his job.
Okay.
Bruce is not very good at trying to pick up subtleties, is he? Come on.
No, actually, I'm quite real. I was just looking for an answer, but that's cool.
I flew last Friday and I'm flying this week.
Well, I think you guys, good luck on that.
Smiling.
I think you guys would like this. You know, New York has had a couple of instances here. This is somewhat funny and somewhat not funny. They've actually busted an illegal fight club called Dumb.
I heard about this.
It's called Rumble in the Bronx.
Yeah. First off, copyright infringement as well. Are you running illegal fights, but Jackie Chan's going to come beat your ass.
Exactly. Well, you know what, Jack? Bring up a little thing. I'm the one that had to go after Rumble in the Bronx when it came out because I think I told the story many, many years ago.
Yeah, now you got the brothers buffer on you too.
I have no violation claim here, nor would I even.
Not yet. Give it a minute.
At Rumble in the Bronx, when the movie was released, I opened up, I was eating breakfast, I opened up the LA Times, and on six pages, each page was two ads saying, get ready to rumble with Jackie Chan. Didn't even mention the name of the movie. It was the pre-publicity for the film.
Right.
And this was one of the first major lawsuits that I filed against the studio. And we actually had to go file the lawsuit against them. And I think it was Warner Brothers, if not mistaken, who I eventually made the movie after I went through the lawsuit with them. And came out, you know, on top in our favor. And then we went ahead and made the movie Ready to Rumble with them about a year later. Interesting how business works, isn't it? So let's get back to the story. They busted an illegal fight club. This is in the Bronx. Again, it's a gathering. There were 200 plus people in violation of emergency orders, illegal combat, no liquor license, loaded firearms, multiple crimes, you know, that they went ahead and went against the organizers with. And of course, they're all going to have to pay some pretty big money. Now that's the first story. Get the second story, okay? They busted a swingers club. They went in and busted a swingers club, had people all around, no masks, multiple beds in the room, paying money to have sex in the rooms, renting the rooms for a half hour, longer than that, illegal booze, illegal that, illegal whatever, $30 for 10 minutes. Here's the VIP room available. $30, 10 minutes, $50, 20 minutes, $60, half hour, $75, 40 minutes, $90, 50 minutes, $100 for 1 hour, $500 for an all-night session. And the room has like three beds in it where multiple couples would go in, do their thing, have their swinging. And they got busted. The people got hit with a total of like $16,000 in fines, violating emergency measures. And now they're going to get dinged because they're serving booze and everything else. So they're busting these private clubs like crazy.
Getting back to the underground fight club.
Oh, man, story. I was hot on the swingers club. I wanted you to talk about that.
I at least want to check it out.
Getting back to the underground fight club story, Bruce, like I used to basically not before like be pro things like that in the state of New York. But I do know of things that went on in that area because mixed martial arts wasn't legal. So you would have some unregulated sort of under the radar types of situations. But now at this point, there's no excuse for things like that. And in the midst of a pandemic, what are you doing, guys? Like, I don't know.
Making money, trying to make money in the case of...
At what cost, though? Like, I don't know.
I'm not a swinger. Maybe there's a huge temptation you can't wait 8 months to fulfill. I don't know.
Again, we're not talking about the swinging club. We're talking about the fight club.
Oh, but yeah. I still want to get back to the swing club. Where's Sammy when we need her? All right, that's one thing. Gary, you'll be happy to know that video games are being proven for kids to be really great for well-being. You know, we hear all these negatives, but as far as the endorphin release that can help, especially during pandemic times, they're claiming that there is, and this is an Oxford study, that they're good for well-being for the kids. And we've also heard another study I mentioned a couple of weeks ago about how it can actually improve brain, you know, brain power and the way your brain works, whatever level that is.
So. I think gaming has always been good as far as like hand-eye coordination goes, especially as far as like team building. If you're playing massive multiplayer and you're part of like some kind of a group, some kind of a clan, and you guys are, you know, learning the maps, you've become a team and you're able to execute moves together. That's really great as far as development goes. I mean, for my kid, I think that it's kind of like half gaming, half YouTube. So he loves watching other people play games on YouTube. I mean, that is the joy that these kids have, I think, even more than the gaming itself.
My boys like it too. They like watching other people play.
Yeah. So what we've done is you know, I'm not taking that away. I like it better when he's playing Roblox with his friends and they're going into, you know, their own server and they're able to get a game going. I like that because they're getting good technical abilities there.
Right.
With YouTube, so I'd much rather him gaming than on YouTube, because YouTube, I feel like he's just consuming an influencer's content and not really getting anything out of it. But I don't want to take it away. So
gotcha.
What we've done is, Mason, as you know, he wants to be an engineer. He wants to be the first boxer engineer. So what we've done now is we're allocating 30 minutes a night to watching how to be an engineer videos. And so where we've gotten so far is we now know what kind of engineer he wants to be. And we're now moving forward as far as design engineering goes and taking next steps there. And
how cool is that?
Even,
cool.
You know, we do try and, you know, get our kid to do more analog activities. And there's times where we do have to force that. We also want to make sure that we're participating in his world and that that's not something that he wouldn't want us to be a part of, right? We're there to support. We're there to make sure that boundaries are always there, but we never want our kid to regret us being there or us knowing about, you know, YouTube and things like that. So that's just part of now what we're doing to, he can do YouTube, but some of it does now have to be educational.
Well, speaking about YouTube, for those listening to the show, and we have a very large listening base on the audio sites like iTunes and such, where people are listening to It's Time Radio. But also want to remind everybody, if you're listening, again, go to our YouTube page, subscribe to YouTube, watch the show on video. I have to grab that opening while we have it, while we're talking about YouTube. Because on that page, when it gets to a certain level, we're going to have some really fantastic giveaways on the show. But I can't do that until we get up to at least 5,000 subscribers or more. But I promise you that there'll be some very cool, if not expensive, giveaways. So subscribe. If you're listening to us right now on iTunes or elsewhere, Spreaker, wherever it might be, get on YouTube, subscribe, hit that button and subscribe. That's all I can tell you. We'll have some great stuff for you in the future. Let's go over to UFC 255. I was talking about the Davison Figueiredo match against Alex Perez, who took in for Cody Garbrandt. Figueiredo finished the fight in less than 2 minutes, reigning champion. Then there was a hell of a fight between Brandon Moreno and Brandon Royval. Brandon Moreno, a number one contender at flyweight, and immediately he's not even leaving Vegas and go home. Dana White and the powers that be, along with Dana, have given him now a chance to be the challenger for the flyweight title. He's going to stay in Vegas. He's going to fight Davison Figueiredo on December 12th for the title. Very interesting. Very nice turnaround for Brandon. Also on the card, guys, let's face it. I know Amanda Nunes is amazing. We know that. She's incredible. She's the most amazing fighter I've ever seen. I got to give the kudos. That was a heck of a fight between Maya and Valentina Shevchenko, showing Valentina not just the amazing striker, the kicker that she is, the Muay Thai fighter that she is, but her ability to handle a fantastic jiu-jitsu fighter in Jennifer Maya on the ground. This showed me a whole nother side of Valentina Shevchenko.
It's pick your poison, right, Bruce?
Yeah.
Like poison. There's no real weakness that you can try to attack with this woman. She's definitely dominating with the best of the best. Most dominant women.
There was
we've
some
seen,
exposure, so. Guys.
Yes.
There
was, yeah,
hey, listen, she showed if you can clinch her and control her on the cage. I listen, TJ, I get it, but
we're talking about a round.
Yeah, a round.
We
she
are
lost
talking
one
about a
round.
But she was stuck.
Sure, was I stuck. Get that. I get that, but I mean, this is actually a testament to how good she is. That we're focusing in on one dropped round as something that maybe her competition can sort of hone in on and try to exploit later down the road.
She's but that multiple rounds to Amanda Nunes.
No, I understand that, but we're talking at 125. We're talking about one round that she's dropped as maybe the next thing that up and coming fighters can try to. Exploit, which I mean, exploit, Lauren Murphy might be able to try to do that.
But they will. Or who do they say is next for her? Andrade?
Andrade is in line, or
she's
Lauren Murphy?
Be next.
I believe it's Lauren Murphy. I've heard that.
I think it's
Murphy.
Lauren Murphy. Yeah, right. I've heard Andrade too, but I think Lauren Murphy is going to get the nod.
Andrade is higher in the rankings right now, but I don't know if it's official, but I've heard the name Lauren Murphy kicked around. Higher in the hierarchy, if you will.
I'd be totally happy with either one. Either
have
one.
You ever taken a look at Bullet's Instagram?
Yeah, no. As a matter of fact, she answered me. I praised her on my Instagram post, and she wrote me back, and I just started following her. Boy, she
she's
posts
like the
a
deadliest
lot.
Woman alive.
She's incredible.
She's like the absolute deadliest woman alive, man.
You know what I love watching, Gary? I love watching her training sessions when she trains.
She's a beast.
She is a beast. She's an incredible beast. She's awesome and fun to watch. So that was a heck of a go. The two flyweight champions retaining their titles. Kudos and congratulations to them. Mike Perry and Tim Means going at it all together. Tim Means coming out on top in that fight. Caitlin Chukagian coming up with Cynthia Cavallo. Caitlin proving to be a very strong flyweight contender. Again, I think she's going to get a nod for a championship challenging bout again in her career. And then Shogun Hu and Paul Craig coming out, another instance where I had to step between the two fighters, but I wasn't that worried about Paul Craig. He was going to stand his ground, but he did get a little close. So I had to get in front of him to prevent the little too close where the commission would step in. Guys, I don't like saying this. Shogun is a friend. I've watched him fight for, God, I think he's been in the game almost as long as I've been announcing. It's unbelievable. Dana White said that he thinks he should retire. I heard a quote, if that was correct, that Dana mentioned. What is your opinion, TJ? Gary, yeah. Shogun Hua.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm not retiring people. That's not my job.
I don't want you to.
He's a legend. I thought it would have been fitting for him to go out and retire after his last fight with Little Nogueira. But, he had this fight with Paul Craig. Unfortunately, I have a real hard time seeing legends like Shogun Hua tap to strikes. Yeah. But, it is what it is. And I'm a firm believer that Shogun losing his last fight the way that he did, it doesn't tarnish his legacy in my book. That's not the way it normally works, though, with casual fans.
Yeah.
And I would hate to see him do anything to hurt his legacy because he truly is one of the best fighters we've seen in MMA
without
at 205 pounds.
Without a doubt. And a big fan. I mean, listen, he's a hero in Brazil. He's in the UFC Hall of Fame. I mean, how many fighters do I announce that are already in the UFC Hall of Fame? I mean, I think Randy Couture was one. Shogun Hua is the other. I don't know. I'm escaping me. Maybe BJ Penn was in the Hall of Fame.
Shogun's in the Hall of Fame?
They had me announce him as a UFC Hall of Famer.
I think...
Do a Google real quick while we're talking. If you
He might have a fight in the Hall of Fame, but
maybe there's a fight in the Hall of Fame. Well, then you're in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, not really.
You're not a Hall of Famer as far as yourself, but you're in a fight that's in the Hall of Fame, so you are a Hall of Famer. If you're in the Hall of Fame, you're a Hall of Famer.
Technicalities.
And Paul Craig coming off a 4 or 5 fight winning streak, very strong grappler, very cool Scottish man. Very, very cool. I like Paul a lot. Antonina Shevchenko against Ariane Lipsky. These Shevchenko sisters are beasts. She is definitely a heck of an upcoming fighter, ranked 15th. Probably the ranking is going to go down from there. It's amazing to see two sisters on the same card when you think about it. I know that's happened before two brothers one time. I forget. Oh, with the Pettis brothers were on the same card. But the one that really stood out amongst all the other standouts the other evening is Joaquin Buckley. This man's a beast.
Yeah, and especially to follow up that original knockout.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, I was actually worried for his quick turnaround, Bruce, because he's coming off what I think is the knockout of the year. You're almost in a bad situation to try to follow up a performance like that ever. You know what I mean?
I agree with you. Let me tell you, this man's intense. When he walked in, you know, I'll talk to the fighters after they fight, even before I announce the decision or whatever. A lot of fighters are different. They're all intense because they're fighters with respect to all of being fighters. But this guy is intense. This guy walks in there. He's got the shark eyes from the moment he's in there. Even after I make him, even if I announce him as the winner, he's still got shark eyes. This is a very intense fighter.
When we are done, I can't show the video on the air. We get in trouble for it. But when we're done with the show, I want to show you guys an athlete from Invicta named Hope Chase, who is the most intense person I've ever seen in mixed martial arts. And if people are pro wrestling fans, she is the human embodiment of the ultimate warrior. She's terrifying, and people need to check her out. She fought over the weekend in Invicta. But when we get off the air, guys, just stick around because I need to show you her fight. It's crazy.
All right, cool. No, I'd like to see that. I'd like to see that too. All right, well, that's UFC 255. Then we've got the show coming up this weekend. I will not be in Vegas announcing the show on UFC Fight Night this weekend. I will be back for December 5th. And December 12th pay-per-view, and I'm looking forward to that. Of course, I want to enjoy a nice Thanksgiving holiday weekend.
When are you just going to get the condo in Vegas already, Buff?
I owned a house in Vegas when I was announcing. I never saw it. I rented it out, and I wound up getting rid of it about 10 years ago. I should have kept it. But honestly, I don't want a condo.
Buy a house then, Bruce. The time is now. Now's the time to buy a house. You get used
to it. I
want to
buy. I tell you right now, Henderson, Nevada. This is a long time ago. I was talking to Mike Tyson, who had a spot there, or one of his wives had a spot there. But the whole point was, you had all these homes that were built before the fall of the real estate market back in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
So all these people bought all these houses, they're vacation homes.
Yeah.
So when you can buy a house for, I don't know, maybe 30 cents on the dollar from what they went for in gated communities.
Yep.
Where, like, most people are only there a couple of months out of the year.
Yeah, there was a time where I think the stat was there were, like, over 30 homes for each potential buyer in the city of Las Vegas.
Let me tell you what that meant. When I bought my house, I bought it for, this is some 15 years ago, I paid, like, $279,000 for it. Then the recession hit. The value went down to, like, $160,000. So I didn't like the negative layout I was dealing with. So I offed the house. I got out of the tax liability. Everything was done perfectly legal. I wish I would have kept it. As I always say with real estate, never sell real estate unless you have to, because now it's worth, like, you know, 400 and change or whatever, which is great. But here's the thing to your question. And I mentioned this before on the show. I go to Vegas. I do a show. Right now we're in a bubble. So I can't even stay at my house. I have to stay at where they put me up because I'm tested and quarantined until further notice, which is obviously shows are going to be in Vegas or Abu Dhabi, if elsewhere, for at least another 8 to 12 months. So there's no thought in my mind to buy a house. But at the same time, and I can make those kind of investments elsewhere, but at the same time, I love hotels. I love room service. I love having my poker room downstairs when I can play poker again. I love having a blackjack table nearby. I have a home here that I love. I don't want to have a home in Vegas. It's just not my cup of tea. I like hotels. I like room service. I like pay-per-view movies. So it's all good. I'm happy.
I do, TJ. You can come Airbnb through me when you're ready to go and have
perfect
nice weekends with the family.
Let's go.
All right, let's get on to one of the main things that we want to talk about on the show. This is why we brought on Gary Randall, the boxing aficionado. I don't know anybody that knows boxing. You know, I know a few people that know better than you, Gary, but I don't know if it's better than you because you're such a encyclopedia and incredible. Probably the only one who could be better than you is Mike Tyson, who's an amazing walking boxing encyclopedia, if not my brother Michael. But speaking of Mike Tyson, you brought it up. Let's talk about it. Next Saturday at Staples. is Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr. This is a boxing match that's going to be 8 2-minute rounds that was originally scheduled to be an exhibition. It was originally, and I've heard even on the inside, that we're told not to hit each other hard and give an exhibition. But I don't know if Mike Tyson knows how to not hit somebody hard. I don't see that as happening. Gary, I can give my opinion on this. I'd rather you give your opinion on it. This is with the commission overlooking the thing. Do you see this as being a full-on, they're going to give it their all for 8 2-minute rounds? And how do you? And I'll give you my opinion after you. How do you feel about this?
Well, okay. I mean, at number one, both guys know how to spar. Okay? Both guys know how to spar. Both guys, I do not think it is part of the premise or the plan for either guy as far as seek and destroy goes. Okay? However, this can go any way. Once the bell rings, okay? Once the first person gets hit, what's Mike Tyson's most famous quote? Everyone's got a plan until they get hit. So that's just a part of who he is. It's part of the fabric of his fighting style. I don't see him, like, pulling back on Roy. I think the second he feels something, he's going to give, and vice versa.
The rules are sparring.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they could end up going to war. It could end up being – this could literally end up being – I mean, you got to remember, these guys are old. They're not going to have, like, much turbo boost in later rounds in this fight. But the first two rounds of this could be Hagler-Hearns. I mean, that's an absolute possibility on a much slower, slow-motion heavyweight level. But can a fight like this actually bring excitement? I do think it can. Personally, yeah, I love these guys. I was a part of their actual careers. So I was lucky enough to be able to appreciate these guys in their primes. I don't want to see either guy get hurt. No. But at the same time, hey, these guys are fighters, man. They don't know anything else, okay? They're stuck in their 50s. They're now like 10 years removed from their fights. I know Roy's had some kind of circus one-off fights. I'm not going to include those.
Hey,
those guys haven't, you know.
I called his last fight. You have to include it.
Okay. It
was a professional fight. You got to give it to him.
It was.
You got to give it to him.
So, but these guys competing on a level where they would actually face each other is, you know, we're so far past that. So I just don't want to see guy get cut and hurt or concussed. Or, I mean, listen, if Mike's going to end up obliterating, you know, a lot of people, he's going to obliterate Roy Jones, much too small for, that would actually be kind of sad to see in a way,
yeah.
Right? Like,
in a way.
I want to see it. I want to see, here's what I want to see. I want to see Mike in 1987. But the problem is that's not here anymore. But you know what? These guys made such an impact on the sport that they can sell pay-per-views and they can get in the ring and do whatever it is they're going to do on Saturday. I'm going to buy it. I'm going to support it. They gave me a lot, so I'm just basically looking at it like I'm giving back in a way. But personally, this should be a platform for the undercard. If the undercard, if, you know, this should be a platform for those guys to shine, for them to get some TV time, build up a fan base. And if they can take that and they can make this like senior circuit kind of deliver on these up and coming fighters and give them this platform that has a lot more eyeballs, then you know what? Go for it.
Well, let's talk about the card.
Well,
go ahead.
Real quick. Let me just ask this because it's an exhibition, as you mentioned, Bruce. It's happening in the state of California.
Right.
Andy Foster is overseeing it. He's been very specific about what this is and what this isn't. What if it becomes something that it's not supposed to be, Gary? Do you see Andy Foster going, look, guys, you need to calm this mess down right now? Would he intervene and step in?
Before you answer that, Gary, let me tell you one thing that Mark Ratner told me. And by the way, congratulations to Mark Ratner. He was inducted into the UFC Hall of Fame. Yeah, totally, completely deserving. We wouldn't be where we are without Mark Ratner, as well as Dana White and other powers that be. But he mentioned to me that exhibition, basically, because once they start hitting hard, exhibition's out the window. It's not an exhibition anymore. It's a pro fight. So what Gary said earlier, if it goes to that tempo, which I believe it will, because let's face it, Mike Tyson in his heyday, if he fought a true boxer like Roy Jones Jr., he was taken into later rounds. Mike was used to taking people out within two or three rounds, if three. Okay, that. But once it went past that, it's almost like, oh, what kind of boxing match am I in now? Well, you're in a boxing match. So I could see Mike coming out hard in the first couple rounds, feeling each other out in the first round, and either ending it quick. But if it goes to the later rounds, I'm going to give the edge to Roy Jones Jr. on, you know, boxing judges watching this fight. And on the main card, yes, it's Tyson and Jones Jr. They're calling it – get this, the WBC's involved, okay? They're calling it a
– Hang on, Bruce, you're getting away from my question. You're not answering my question.
Which was?
Will Andy Foster shut it down if it becomes something that he explicitly said it's not supposed to be?
I will say no, because eight rounds, keeping an exhibition fight, the commission's there, they've gone through their testing, they've weighed in, they've done everything they're supposed to do under normal professional circumstances. If this tempo, this is just my opinion, if this tempo goes up to where they're actually slamming each other and fighting like pros and really putting in a good eight-round, two-minute bout, no. I just think that's the tempo they decided to go to. Let the fight go. It either ends in a knockout.
But they're not licensing him for that.
So they're licensing him. You're saying, why is the WBC stepping in? And I don't know the answer to this.
This is why I asked Gary.
Gary, let's ask you. Why is the WBC stepping in and calling it the WBC Frontline Championship? Okay? They're fighting for Frontline Championship.
Because they're trying to start a league.
And that's why Evander Holyfield says he wants.
They're trying to start a
circuit. Are they trying to start a circus or a circuit?
No, a circuit. Okay. They're trying to start a senior circuit. And so Mike and Roy are kind of sacrificing themselves to get it started. Don't forget, this exhibition, Apollo Creed, Ivan Drago was supposed to be an exhibition. But this exhibition has no headgear.
Yes, right, exactly.
You know, exactly. They're wearing 12-ounce gloves. Sparring yes, is 14-ounce gloves.
That's right.
So
that's
this right. These are bigger gloves than they would wear if they were in like a regular heavyweight pro fight. I think they'd be wearing 10-ounce. So they're wearing the extra 2 ounces, but they're not wearing sparring gloves, which are 14-ounce and 16.
Okay, so now go ahead. So now let's take it a step further. Exhibition bouts. Well, of course, you can bet on anything, but let me just tell you what the odds makers are giving.
Hang on. No one's going to answer my question.
I answered your question. No, they're not going to stop it. I said they're not going
to
stop it.
I was asking Gary. I want to know Gary's.
What I was getting to, TJ, was because there's no headgear, because it's 12-ounce gloves, I do believe the commission has a fundamental understanding of what they've signed up for here.
Yeah. Mm.
I'm sure that they have had talks with the fighters. But if someone gets cut in the first, okay, if someone gets cut, screw a knockdown. If someone gets cut in the first round, okay, do mm-hmm. I think they're going to stop it? I don't. Absolutely don't. If someone gets knocked down in the first round and it's a flash knockdown, in other words, they're not hurt, he didn't get crushed, I think they'll let it continue. If you see like someone like Roy take a massive left hook, he gets rocked and like, it's obvious that I think you'll see like a Razor Ruddock 1 type of stoppage where even if he's wobbly, they're just going to call it. They're not going to let him go down and take some kind of horrific beating or anything like that. So I think that there's levels to where they will insert themselves, but I don't think it's going to be like at the first sign of a real fight breaking out. I think something's going to happen.
And I agree because –
There is a champion, or there is a winner. There's going to be a winner in this.
Yes, they're fighting for the WBC Frontline Championship. Yeah,
I'm just trying to establish. They will
be declaring a winner, which means they will be scoring rounds.
Yeah, so then this is definitely a fight. I don't care if it's a it's definitely a fight.
Think about the potential circus outlook.
Let me confirm that they're going to be scoring rounds.
I mean, because if they're not scoring rounds, then I think that it might be different. But if they're scoring rounds, neither Mike nor Roy will want to lose.
Exactly. No official scoring.
No official scoring
or winner as for MMA Junkie.
That's what I thought. And then, this is going to be way different. This is going to be very laid back and relaxed. So if they can't crown a champion then if there's no winner.
For some reason, the WBC stepped in and they're calling it this.
Well, how are they going to crown a winner if both of them get their hands raised?
Listen, if you ask me my opinion of a lot of decisions and things that have happened in boxing, I'll give you the same answer. I don't friggin' know.
WBC is... crowned a lot of winners.
Yeah, they crowned a lot of winners. Remember, I come from the
days
where
the son is really cool, and dad was really a nice guy too. I met him multiple times. I'm just kind of going off on some.
Let me give you a few tidbits here for those listening to learn more about the event if you want to watch it on Saturday. And remember one thing: people say, "Well, Roy Jones was champion at a lighter weight, not heavyweight, but he did beat John Ruiz, who did beat Mike Tyson." Okay, so.
Evander Holyfield.
Evander Holyfield. Pardon me. Excuse me. Correct. Thank you. That's why we have you on the show, Gary. Keep me straight. Okay. So with this, there's going to be the main card is also going to have Logan Paul's brother, Jake Paul, fighting Nate Robinson at cruiserweight for 6 rounds. These other ones, I'm not that familiar with Badu Jack and Blake McKenna, light heavyweights, 8 rounds, Vidal Riley, Rashad Coulter, cruiserweight, 6 rounds. There's a 3-round preliminary card. Here's the odds. And also this is a 4-hour show. And I signed Michael to announce the main event only between Jones and Tyson. Michael will be going down, being COVID tested the whole bit. There's not going to be any fans, any audience. I am not going to go to Staples Saturday, which I easily could because I won't be able to be down by the ring watching the fight. So there's no reason to go. I'll watch in the privacy of mine or a friend's home as we'll watch it. If you want to get the pay-per-view, you have to go to the live stream, which is Tyson on Thriller.com or go to Fight TV.
Thriller.
Oh, Thriller. Excuse me. Boy, that could be just like I got it wrong. You're going to get the wrong.
We'll make sure we put a link in the bio. We'll put a link in the bio, guys.
Tyson on Thriller.com.
It's also available on Fight TV and traditional pay-per-view outlets as well.
Yeah, that's what I was just about
Fight
to say.
Fight.TV.
Fight TV. It's $49.99. It starts at 7 o'clock is the main card here as usual. Now, Mike Tyson on the oddsmakers is -220. Roy Jones Jr. is +170.
How do you offer odds that there's no winner?
It's betting. They bet on who wins the election in a state.
But there's a winner in an election in a state. There's no winner in this.
Well, okay. Well, wait a second.
So you, the viewer, are the winner, TJ.
Yeah, but how do you take it? But okay, so you bet a draw. Bet a draw. It's a sure bet.
Do you know what the draw is? +1,200. You get $1,200 on $100.
So that's easy money. Bet it.
It depends how the bookies look at it. You know, if you bet on the president of the
United
States.
You're absolutely right, TJ.
You are correct.
Bruce, you're trying to say that, well, the bookies get determined. No, there's no winner. They've already said there's no winner.
It's official.
I'm listening to both of you. I'm with you both. So everybody rock out there and bet $50 and win $600. Bet 10 and win 120.
I'm going online right now to place a wager.
I'm betting 10,000 right now.
At +1,200, it's going to hit.
Don't, TJ, he's really going to do it, man. Bruce, don't do that. Wait till we learn. Let's gather some intel. By the way, big shout out to Keith Evans, Fight.TV.
Gary, you know me too well. Okay, I'll bet it if I don't announce it. Let's put it that way. By the way, it's going to have other things too. They're going to have, if I'm not mistaken, like hip-hop and music and the whole bit. They're going to make a big show out of this to whatever level it is. So let's wish him luck. Let's hope this is a fun show. Let's please hope nobody gets hurt. And that it's entertaining, to say the least, you know? What can I say?
You know, those that – what I don't like is that those that only know Mike Tyson from social media and his hot boxing with Mike Tyson.
Right.
They're not – you know, what us fans are looking – we're looking for nostalgia, and that's where I feel like we're – like, this is where I feel bad for the fighters, is because we're expecting them to look as they did in the 90s. Or even the 80s. And that's just not who these guys are anymore. And that's, you know, like, I foresee maybe a lot of people going online and talking shit, maybe saying Mike Tyson was never that good or Roy Jones was never that good. Or, you know, this is their experience with those guys is at 50 plus. You know, it's just a whole different thing. And then guys like us, you know, I pretty much know what to expect, but I'm going to support it because I know that, you know, no matter what boxing pundits say, this is all these guys do, man. It's all they know. This is what they do. They fight and they've done it
exactly.
At such a high level.
Exactly.
That it's that's so unreachable to so many in the world that I'm sure they're going to be craving that until the day they die or reliving it. Until the day they die.
I have information for you guys. You ready? I got some information here. All right, here we go. The California State Athletic Commission Executive Andy Foster. Okay, he's declared the bout will be stopped if there's a cut. He said they will. The bout will be stopped. He said both fighters will not be allowed to go for the knockout. I don't know what the heck that means. That's a gray area to me. He wants the fight to look like heavy sparring in the heat of battle. You know, try telling that to Mike
Tyson.
How
old is that quote, Bruce? How old is that quote?
2 hours. This is when the article was published. Both fighters have publicly declared time.
Okay, that quote's from a lot longer ago. A lot longer.
All right, it could be.
That quote's from like 6 months ago.
All right, yeah, that quote's from a long time ago.
Wait. Hear this part. Yes, there will be, as you said earlier, Gary, there'll be no official judges, but WBC Frontline for the Frontline title has appointed 3 ex-fighters, I don't know who they are, to determine an unofficial winner. So I don't know if that's what's going to determine the winner.
Unofficial.
Plus 1,200 wow. for a draw sounds really great.
Yep. And
unofficial is unofficial.
You know who's got the most pressure on him in this? Ray Corona is going to be the referee. I think the referee's got the most pressure on him to see how he deals with this fight, how he handles this when they go at each other.
Especially when Mike Tyson's in there. You're a target when you're the referee.
All I know is I told you before, every time Mike sees me and hugs me, he headbutts me, and I practically knocked me out one time. Gary, you and I were there. We went to his show, and we saw him after the show. I said, Gary, he almost friggin' just knocked me out.
Hey, you at know? Least you have both really your funny. Ears.
I love Mike.
He really did. He went and he kind of bear hugged Bruce, and he kind of just, you know, juggernauted him on the way in. Yeah, it was pretty cool. Yeah,
minus cool. 100,000 on if Tyson will bite Roy Jones's ear. No, minus 100,000.
Minus? You mean plus?
No.
No, minus. You got to bet 100,000 to like
to win $100 because he's not going to bite Roy Jones's ear.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I got you. That's ridiculous.
Easiest money in the world.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'm going to watch it. You're going to watch it. We're all going to watch it that are fight fans. At some point, whether it's post or whatever. So let's go on to some other stuff. Congratulations to Mike. Congratulations to Roy. I know them both. Like them both. You know, make the money, boys. Make the money. Evander Holyfield sitting in the wings. Can't wait to be the next one to take on the title. Let's see where this goes. One last question, Gary. Do you see this as a sample of the state of boxing that we have to have boxing like this with almost elderly fighters fighting in the ring?
No. I think boxing has been surging for about the past 18 months. The comeback of the heavyweight division has been a really good adrenaline shot for boxing. And I think boxing is finally taking that momentum and running with it. Namely the new star, Teofimo Lopez. This guy has reignited like 3 different weight divisions just by beating Vasily Lomachenko. So now you have, I think more Tyson and Roy and the people that are involved in this event are seeing what's happening in boxing and maybe capitalizing off of that by kind of like getting this pay-per-view in gotcha. There because you have Canelo's going to be fighting next month. So it all kind of plays into each other. And I think the whole sport is kind of realizing a little bit of a lift right now, maybe figuring out their place in the world. I think boxing has gotten to a place where they're kind of following suit on the UFC. They looked at what the UFC is doing, and they're kind of trying to follow suit and see what they can do.
Good answer. Agreed fully. Listen, before we sign off, I want to switch gears here a little bit. I want to go to a story, which is a feel-good story at the same time, but it's a question of, I don't know if it's termed as morality or what's right to do, what's right or wrong, but I want you guys, I'm asking you guys the question as I tell you the story. And I'm going to start it off by what would you do? Okay, a South Carolina couple, they just bought a brand new home. They settled into their new home, gone through escrow, the previous people moved out, the whole bit. As they're going through their new home, they found some built-in drawers in a closet, right? They found 2 cases in those drawers holding 46 gold Liberty $5 coins and 18 Morgan Silver dollar coins that were made in the 1800s. The value of these coins was $25,000, okay? Nice sum of money. Question. I'll tell you what they did after you answer the question. Would you, as that homeowner moving into the house, you found those coins, knowing who owned them, would you give them back or would you keep them?
I'd ask them if they left anything.
Okay, which means that you would if you get an answer that no, they didn't. Okay, Gary?
So if they said no, they didn't leave anything, and I'm guessing these are things that you would know whether or not you left behind, no, I wouldn't give them back.
If they called you 2 weeks later and said, by the way, we forgot, we left gold coins in the house.
Yeah. but I wouldn't be going to the media and telling anybody that I found these gold coins either. I would call and ask them if they left anything in the house. And if they said no, then no.
And if they called you back 2 weeks later and said, by the way, we forgot we left our gold coins. We realized we left them. Would you give them back at that point?
Yeah, for sure. Okay.
Gary?
I would immediately notify them that they left the gold coins. But what if they didn't know? I'm afraid of bad juju.
So you would tell them, hey, I think you left these gold coins. But what if they didn't know? What if they're not theirs? What if they were just there and they didn't know they were there? You would give them to them?
I understand that, but I would be morally obligated to be like, hey, guys, we just found like these crazy coins in the attic. Do you know what this is? You know what I mean? And then the morality is on their side, man. If they want to lie and whatever, then that's on them. I can't.
All right.
You want my answer?
Yeah, Gary's a better person than I am.
Do you want my answer?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. I understand your answer, TJ, and I'm not saying it's a wrong answer by any standards because you're giving me the chance. I'll go with Gary. I would actually call them up and say, hey, I found something in the house, and if you can describe what you left.
No, that's literally what I just said. You're agreeing with me, Bruce. You're not agreeing with Gary. You're just as terrible of a person as I am.
Well, that's what I would do. I would give him a good description. I'd say, listen, I found something in the house. It involved gold. If you can please describe it.
You mean there's gold in the house? Yep,
what is
that's
it?
Mine.
What is it? Tell me what it is.
It's gold, Bruce. That's none of your business. You've described it.
My business. I'm staring at it.
As a matter of fact, I'm calling the police. You've stolen my gold.
Go ahead, Bruce.
No, I was going to say I'm so big on karma. I would have a hard time keeping him. I'd have to make the phone call, let him know that I found him. Period. That's it.
I'd like to make one more plug before we call it. There's a really good one-on-one fight happening like three times a week. It's a poker heads-up match. If any of you guys, you know, follow Bruce, you know he's a diehard poker player. He's got a guy that he's known for a long time named Daniel Negreanu. Great poker player.
Great.
One of the greatest ever.
Great.
He's in a big heads-up match for over $1 million with a guy named Doug Polk, who kind of called out Daniel. And this has been a bit of a grudge match for like about 3-4 years going back and forth. And now these guys are playing on – you can watch their matches. They're playing on WSOP.com, but you can watch their matches on many – YouTube streams Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And you know, one of the things that is happening here is this is a new type of event where poker players are going heads up against each other, and then you have these young commentators that are commentating the action. We're not able to see the whole cards because these are live streams, so they have to fill in that amount of time. And you know, just as once TJ was one of the new generational voices years and years ago. I remember him coming up. You're seeing a lot of these new, younger, in their early 20s generation coming up and commentating on this this event. If you're into two people that are really trying to take each other's money, tune into this. You will absolutely love it. I just wanted to recommend that it poker transitions really well with UFC fans. So it's worth watching. You might like it.
Listen, if you're a poker fan, how can you not want to watch Daniel Negreanu? I know you really get off and enjoy this, and I do it myself. So I do highly recommend it. And I'd say give it a view if you're definitely a poker fan. Very cool, Gary. Thank you. I appreciate that. But answer back to the coin story, though. So, you know, the homeowners gave it back. They gave it back right away. They're obviously better than we are.
Sorry.
Well, I mean, is it clear in the story whether or not the original homeowners knew that they were their coins?
What the new owner did is he texted pictures of the coins to the former owner and made arrangements to return them.
Do you see the worst in people? Yeah.
I like seeing the best.
Yeah, but, I mean, I see the best in people, but I also know that people are terrible. So, yes. we'll call them A, we'll call them B.
Here, TJ, this is, to me, TJ in a nutshell. And it's an old quote, I think, from Amarillo Slim.
Classic.
Trust everyone, but always cut the cards.
Love that. And the other one from The Godfather, keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. There you go. it works. Those are two very, very good adages.
The one with poker is the one.
Poker's pretty cool. Hey, one last note. Michael Jordan's last piece of NBA memorabilia or NBA laundry, if you want to call it, his jersey from the final NBA game that he played for the Washington Wizards, is going on auction. What do you think it's going to fetch?
I have no idea.
Gary, guess?
$500,000.
Exactly. That's what they say. $500,000. Yep.
Wow.
Exactly. $500,000.
I was going to take the under on that, but
since that Last Dance special with HBO, and I mentioned this like every week, I'm telling you about how the stuff is going up. The memorabilia on cards for basketball is gone through the roof.
Netflix, by the way.
It's completely watching, and I'm in episode 9 or 10.
That's who made it. You said HBO. It's Netflix.
Oh, Netflix. Pardon me. Great show. If you're into basketball, just you know what? Even if you're not into basketball, to realize what it takes to be a champion, as Michael Jordan is. And
I don't like basketball. I don't like basketball, and I love that series.
The series was amazing. Yeah. It was just so, so good. Gary, take a second. Anything you want to share with us, share with our audience before we sign off?
I did it, man. That's it. You know, I look forward to hearing comments on what people think of the Tyson Jones fight. We'll definitely put a link to like the Fight TV where you can purchase it in the bio. We'll put a link to the Heads Up Poker match that we were talking about in the bio. And thanks, Bruce and TJ, for letting me be on the show with you guys. I appreciate it.
Very cool, Gary. Always great to have you on, bro. And I'll see you soon for our own little poker matches, virtual and online. We don't play in person anymore. I can't believe I've not played a live poker game, much less other things I haven't done for 8 months. It's crazy.
Hey, I need to borrow all of the money that you guys have liquid to put on this draw at plus 1,200. We're going to be billionaires.
There's probably a limit to how much you can bet.
TJ, do what I did on Monday. I bought both Moderna and Pfizer stock.
Ah, smart.
There you go.
Moderna is the one that's crushing it.
And what about Neo? Did you see how Neo did today, Gary?
Bruce, listen, for anyone listening, we're not financial guys. We don't give financial advice or anything. Yeah, Bruce, you recommended a really good stock that's absolutely crushed it over the last week. So
NIO. I made over 300% since I bought it like 4 months ago. It's incredible. Yeah, NIO, man. Guys. I'll tell everybody out there. NIO, check it out.
And you're betting it all on a draw, plus 1,200. Let's go.
Yeah, I'd like to see me collect on that one. There we go. All right. TJ, what's up?
Not much. I'm going to Mexico on Saturday. People want to check out a little combat jiu-jitsu. It's live from Cancun. You can watch it on UFC Fight Pass.
Very cool. Very cool. And everybody, I will not be in the octagon on Saturday. Enjoy the show. Joe Martinez will be announcing the show. It looks like a hell of a show. I will be back on December 5th and December 12th. And then I will not be back until January because I am going to enjoy the holiday season, whatever that means these days in COVID-19. But I've got plenty of other things to do. We're finalizing the new It's Time cologne. Might be released before Christmas. I hope to have a sample to show you before the end of the year. And, of course, Puncher's Chance. Everybody out there, make sure you live life and always take your puncher's chance, which is selling like hot cakes. Thank God. Love it.
Very, do hot cakes cool. sell anymore?
That's just a term. Come on. Maybe I'm aging myself, but it is a term. All right. Here we go, guys. Have a great week. Gary, thanks again very, very much. Come pick me up in the Maybach. I want to go to dinner in a half hour. That'd be really nice if I could sit in the back seat. Appreciate it. And TJ, have a great week. All my best to both you guys, your family, your loved ones, Gary, Mason, Yen, Evie, everybody with you too, TJ. Happy Thanksgiving. You know, I know we live in a COVID environment. We're in this world pandemic war, which has changed all of our lives to a very large and small degrees, depending on what you do and where you live. But the bottom line is, I still think there's a lot to be thankful for. And I want to wish a very happy Thanksgiving to you, your families and loved ones, and to all our listeners out there all around the world. Of course, we celebrate Thanksgiving here in the United States, but honestly, every day I wake up and I'm healthy, I give thanks. So I give thanks to everybody. I wish you all the best. I wish you a great week. Everybody, set your goals, write them down, become an aficionado on them, know about them, have your information, have it in place. So when you step on that path, you perform, you be the best you can be, because that's what it's all about in life, baby. It's about being the best you can be. It's also about being number one when you can, but there's no harm being number two or three as long as you were the best you could be. Even if you don't make the top 10, just be the best, and then you're winning. And that's what life is all about. So take a few thoughts. Think about a few thoughts. Give yourself praise. Think about where to be thankful for where you are in this life. And on Thanksgiving, say something silent to yourself and be respectful to everybody around you and be a role model to your sphere of influence. treat everybody with respect, practice your safety and protocol, and above all, enjoy yourselves. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Love you all.
Happy Thanksgiving.
I'd keep half the coins. Does that make me a better person?
Wow.
Well, you could say that you just found half of them, but then you're lying and the karma comes back to you. Karma, baby. Karma, karma, karma.
All right.
Live life by karma.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
I always tell the truth. Unless you play poker, I will lie through my teeth. I want all your chips. Bottom line, buffer out. See ya.